I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios a trio from the Twin Cities called The Last Revel. They are Ryan Acker, who's holding the banjo right now. We have Lee Henke on guitar here, and Vinny Donatelli has the stand-up bass right now. Now, last time you were here, we discovered that you guys switch it up sometimes. We'll find out if you still do that.
Oh, yeah.
But this is where we're at for now. You have a show coming up tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and I believe Tin Can Gin is playing as well.
That's right.
What time does that start, guys?
We go on at 10 o'clock tonight.
All right. So that is coming up tonight, Red Herring Lounge, and these guys kick it off at 10. Well, let's kick off the session, and then we'll come back and talk. It's been a couple of years since you've been here.
Yeah.
And Lee, I think it was you when I said that. You said, wow, we're like a whole different band since then. So I'm excited to find out what that means, because you're the same people. So not literally a whole different band, but let's hear a tune, and then we'll come back and talk about what you've been up to.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're going to try a brand new song that we've been working on, and this song's called Two Lives.
Take me to the country, take me to the country, show me all its filth and beauty. Oh. You're my lover, one who's always been there, one who's at the door when I come back for shelter. Come home and sit by your side. Tell me we've got enough time to live two lives. Live two lives at a time. To the next thing, try to keep you happy, keep this train rolling. Oh. Here's to hoping this will hold on. South to the rails, take us safer to that station. Sit by your side. Tell me we've got enough time to live two lives. Live two lives at a time. Tell me we've got enough time to live two lives. Lonely, only wanna come home and sit by your side. Tell me we've got enough time to live two lives. Live two lives.
That is The Last Revel live from Studio A. And what did you tell me about that song before we started?
It's a brand new tune. We're going into the studio actually next week. So we're taking this fine opportunity to give it a shot.
And you've had an album out for a little over a year now, right?
Yeah. Back in May of 2015, we released our second full-length album that was self-titled.
Mm-hmm.
And now just recently we released... We released that album on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
We're really excited to have that this weekend for the show tonight. So
it's been out there long enough that you're already working on that new stuff and thinking ahead to the next album.
Yeah, you know, it never ends for us. We're always working on new material and just trying to keep that momentum going. And that's our favorite part of being a band, I think, that we found so far, is just making music together. So
Lee, what did you mean by that when you said, hey, we're a whole different band than we were a couple of years ago?
Everything's changed. We've seen so much. We've done so much. It's...
And the way that we're writing the songs are a lot different, too.
Different perspective on songwriting.
How so?
It's more of a team effort.
Yeah, it's a lot more of a team effort. And one influence we've kind of drawn from a lot more in writing songs lately is kind of old fiddle tunes. How to plan out melodies in that respect, mm-hmm. and actually thinking about that as kind of a more main focus on the new songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, like as a band, I mean, this is changing a lot to the point of where we were just kind of doing this on the weekends and weekend warriors and stuff, and we just are starting to make a push on doing this more full time, and we just bought a big van and working with
jobs.
This booking agency, and we quit our jobs, and so we're really giving it a go. And I think it's changing how we look at the music we play, and the shows we play, and the songs we write. Everything feels different now than it did a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, even.
Because the stakes are a little bit higher now.
Yeah, we got skin in the game now.
The subconscious thing always pecking at the back of your brain, saying like, "No, you could do that better, or you could write that better, or you could perform better, or whatever it is." And it was always there, but now even more, it's
really
more pressing.
Serious.
Yeah.
Well, do you find yourself thinking more about, you know, because if you're just doing it for fun, you're just doing it for fun, and you're not really thinking about how people are receiving it. Yeah. So do you start thinking about things more about how audiences are perceiving what you're doing and how you put your show together? Or?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, it's still just how much fun can we have doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that still has to be the number one.
Yeah.
So if we aren't enjoying ourselves, nobody's going to enjoy watching us. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, we had a show that was pretty formative for me in kind of discovering what it really means to have 100% connection with the audience up in Copper Harbor.
Yeah, Copper Harbor, Michigan.
Yeah. There is this mountain biking festival that... we spent the weekend playing or just biking around and having a good time, and then to about 100 of the most adrenaline junkie people we've ever met, we're just playing a bunch of tunes, and they really received it and were interacting with me, and I was interacting with them. We were on the same level for a little bit. That was really nice.
Do you think that's something that you can predict or that you can contribute to as a person, or does it just happen? Is it just one of those magic moments? All the factors are in place.
I think you can kind of predict it, but also at the same time, there's this unknown element of playing live, and whether it's the crowd or how you feel, or how the venue feels or anything like that. It's, you know, there's all these unknown elements that make every show different. And that's something we're kind of learning how to deal with is, you know, it's always going to be different every night, which keeps us really engaged and mm-hmm. excited. You never know what's going to happen. You think something's going to be awesome, and it's not. You know, you kind of have to just kind of roll with the punches. And then when you think something's going to be not great and it turns out to be stellar, you kind of have to learn from those experiences as well.
We've mm-hmm. played so many, bad shows when we were starting out, where no one was there or nobody was paying attention or whatever. So we really got in the mindset of, playing because it was fun to play together.
Yeah.
And as long as that's initiated, in the green room or wherever before we go out and play, and we keep that in mind on the stage, then it usually goes really well.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, that same show I just talked about, the first set of that show was playing to, five kids. Yeah. Young kids.
Yep.
Well, so since it's been a while since you were here, last time you were here, you were actually talking about two albums ago. You were just about to release Uprooted, which you had recorded kind of in a cabin or something, right?
Yeah.
So, and that sounded like a really interesting experience. So what was different about the next album, which is self-titled, that you did? Where did you guys end up doing that one?
We did that at a studio in Minneapolis called The Terrarium. And we kind of wanted to take more of a detailed effort in recording the second album, and that's where we kind of got the idea of going into a little bit more professional studio with professional setup and better mics, and kind of explore that as an option for recording. And I think it reflects the album quite a bit. It's definitely kind of more poignant and a little bit more polished, and we experimented a little bit more with just some sounds we could make rather than just like setting up and playing the songs. And so it was a little bit more experimental, I guess, as far as it could go.
And then did that extend to how you did the songs on stage as well?
Or
some more so than
a
others.
Little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it extended more into the way we wrote the songs and how they translated onto the album, and then into playing them live. We're definitely more experimental and like open to trying things that we weren't before because of it.
So you put out an album in 2014, you put one out in 2015, now you're starting a new one. Are you guys pretty prolific? Has it come pretty, the songs come?
We're like pretty hard on ourselves.
Are you?
It doesn't seem like it sometimes. Well, we work at it a lot, though. You know, we're always working at it, so.
For instance, like, between all of us, we've probably written about, I don't know, 50 songs, like, since the last album. So about a year.
Yeah.
It's been about a year. So we've written about 50, and we haven't settled on more than three that we all like as a band and we're, like, really going hard at, that we've really polished at this point. So, yeah, we're really hard on ourselves. You know, if it's not good enough, we kind of put it on the back burner and wait for it to come up again in some other form. But yeah. Well, we want to keep giving people stuff to listen to, though, too. So.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. What do you guys want to play next?
We'll do a tune off of our latest album, and this song is called Iron and Ore.
Walk through the stream, her dress to her knees, cold water melt from the snow. Wake in the night, the silence like freedom. We've been through what no one can know. Leaves on the trees, they were cursing at me. How could she love you anymore? Selflessly giving, but viciously driven. A hammer, it ripped through the floor. Rip through the floor like iron and ore. This isn't a war, it's already won. North country mines, they take what was given and cleave from the natural land. Hidden agendas have made the decision, not their North country men. Letter she sent, it was written in pen. Between the lines, there was more. Lyrically gifted, but cleverly twisted. A hammer, it ripped through the floor. Rip through the floor like iron and ore. This isn't a war, it's already won. ¶¶ rip through the floor like iron and ore. This isn't a war, it's already won. Rip through the floor like iron and ore. This isn't a war, it's you letting go. Rip through the floor like iron and ore.
That's The Last Revel, live from Studio A, and a cut from their most recent release, the self-titled one, just came out on vinyl. You guys mentioned earlier, before we went on the air, that you had just been at Folk Alliance, which is this big conference down in, is it Kansas? Is that
where it is? Kansas City, Missouri, yeah.
Oh, Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. Yeah. I knew Kansas was in there somewhere. And was this your first trip down there?
That was our first time, yeah.
And, you know, I've just been seeing a lot about it because it seems like some local artists have been heading down there and posting a lot about it on Facebook. Rachel Kilgore, Actual Wolf, Pushing Chain, Moores and McCumber, I think we're all down there this year.
Sure. Yeah.
And it just seems like a big old fun time. And this was your first trip down there?
Yep, that was our first time at the conference. Yeah, we really didn't know exactly what to expect when we went into it. And we heard it was a great time and like a great networking tool. And it was quite the whirlwind of meeting and networking and playing and seeing so much music and just getting an entire view of the massive amount of talent in the world. And we met a bunch of people from other countries and the number of talent buyers and booking agents and everything. It was overwhelming.
It really was. Mm-hmm. It was like inspiring at the same time that it was, it was overwhelming. Overwhelmingly inspiring to the point where it was almost,
It was perfect timing. I look back, it was just perfect timing for us as a band. It's like trying to make this push onto doing this more of like a career, and this is what we're focusing on now. We got a very clear vision of how much work it takes and what we have to do to make the connections and make the songs and make the albums, and it was very eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. Because you talk to a lot of people that have been doing it professionally.
Yeah.
And so I bet you were able to get a lot of good advice from people just meeting fellow artists down there.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I found there that was really interesting and inspiring was the fact that there are some musicians that I talk to who they might be from the Northwest and like just kind of don't really get much beyond regional touring, but then will also routinely go over to Europe and tour for months on end all over Europe. Like, that's more instinctual than touring around their region.
Yeah.
Which
we went to a couple different conferences too, where they were talking about touring Australia and New Zealand, and that was it's definitely on our bucket list for next
intriguing.
Year. So we've been talking about maybe a Midwest invades Australia or something like that.
Yeah.
What are the most far flung places that you've toured to so far?
Most far-flung, we did 10 or 12 dates in Montana and Wyoming and Colorado last summer, and that was the farthest from home we've been. We're working on doing 2.5 weeks out on the northwest coast of the country, in Oregon and Washington, California, for April and May. We're very excited about that, really breaking new ground for us and like really trying this out as something a little bit more extended than just 4 or 5 days at a time. Mm-hmm. So we're excited and nervous about seeing some seeing some new faces and playing some songs to some new people. So
I want to know, so you said you just kind of recently made that decision, all right, we're going for it, we're going to do this professionally. How did that decision come about? All have your individual lives and you have probably other people that you have to consult with, and
it kind of took over. Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest, used to be you'd have 3-4 days off during the week that you could have a part-time job or, bring in extra income or hang out or whatever. And it kind of got to the point where if it wasn't like a radio interview or I needed to sit down and write some songs or work together or whatever it was, clean out the van, it's kind of gotten to the point where there are no more days left. In fact, I just updated my job calendar. In April, I had like 2 days where I could have actually gone into work. So I'm like, this is just isn't feasible anymore.
So music was always the priority, and work kind of came second. So I guess it was meant to be, because if you all had that mindset.
It feels like it lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just meant to be this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's great, because you're all on the same page. Sometimes that can be tough in a band where, you know, some people want to do it and other people, you know, maybe have these other obligations or so.
Yeah, for sure. We've been really fortunate. It feels like since day one, we've all been on the same page, mm-hmm. as far as like what we wanted to do and accomplish and the pace we wanted to work at. Mm-hmm. And there's never been any kickback as far as like somebody wanted to do something else. It's all just been kind of one motion.
I wanted to move to Duluth once.
That's true, you did.
That was the only kickback. And they were like, no, we're moving to the cities. And I was like, I like Duluth. And
it's
I wound up moving to the cities, which I also love. But yeah, it's not too late. I come up here.
It can still happen. It can still happen. So tell me about the new material that you've been working on. You said you just have the three. Is it, you know, and for the album that you're planning, you said you kind of have three songs that you have worked out.
Songs that we've run together.
Mm-hmm.
We've probably another
yeah.
seven or something
like
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as far as like the songwriting goes, it seems like it's a lot more introspective and dealing with a lot of the emotions we go through personally, like being on the road and trying to evolve as individuals at home, but also at the same time stay in this and kind of working those two things together. Mm-hmm. Like those themes find their way into our lyrics a lot, it seems like. So,
mm-hmm. Do you think there's a danger when you start to play more that becomes what all your songs? I think some artists, themselves.
Yeah, and I mean that's another element. Like we try to keep in mind is like, okay, well, we want to do this full time, but also at the same time, like we want to have lives outside of this as far as possible. Anyways,
yeah, that mm-hmm. that also provide the inspiration that's necessary to not just like. Right, the going out on the road.
Right, nobody wants
friend.
To hear that album.
Or even worse, like trying to overstretch yourself and try and write something you think is relatable, which to me has always been like, you can tell it right away. Like, oh, they wrote that song to sell records, you know? And that's not what we're about. We want to write songs that are fun, that are honest. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
I love the harmonies that you do, too. And that's always been part of the band, hasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yep.
But it seems like you just have really got those down, you know, over the years.
Yep, we've been playing and singing a lot, and it's starting to really we're starting to really click together.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
We did it.
And, you know, we mentioned earlier that sometimes you switch up instruments.
Yeah.
So far, you've kind of kept it the same here. But so do you do that a lot on stage or just a couple of times? Or?
It's gotten less, actually,
over
the years.
A handful. We're starting to get better at our individual instruments, so we find ourselves kind of sticking with those more often.
Yeah, we'll
but we do switch up probably at least 2 or 3, 4 times a night,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
depending on the length of the set. So, mm-hmm.
Shake things up a little bit. Any other instruments? We've got the banjo, the guitar, and the bass. Anything else that gets pulled up on stage?
We got a fiddle, too.
Oh, yeah.
We'll pull
that
out on the next one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've been
okay.
writing a lot of songs on a tenor banjo lately.
Yeah, tenor banjo. I don't know if we'll work that in or not. Maybe.
Probably not. But
we're always open to bringing in new instruments, but it's just once we found like this trio and the instrumentation that works, we've been really digging in lately and just writing on these instruments. So
mm-hmm.
we're definitely open to experimentation, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear a song, including the fiddle. We'll let Vinny make sure his bass isn't going to fall over there. Those are expensive instruments. We don't want
that.
We don't want that toppling over. And we have Lee switching over to the banjo, and we have Ryan switching over to the guitar, and Vinny on fiddle.
So this song is off of our very first album that we recorded at that cabin in Michigan. This song's called Lead Me Home. You guys ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
morning she's got me, but I don't believe that she loves me at all. I've got a place to rest my bones where I sleep at night, but I would not call it home. Wine, but I don't believe it leaves my worried mind. I've got feeling in my bones that this rambling will lead me to my home. It will lead me to my home. Crossing rivers all alone, I'll go down that lonesome road, 'cause it will lead me to my home. It will lead me to my home. Crossing rivers all alone, I'll go down that lonesome road.
That's The Last Revel, live from Studio A, and one from their 2014 album, Uprooted. It was 2014, right?
That's right,
I got that right. So you got the van, and you're ready to hit the road. That basically the story here?
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of touring behind the previous album?
Yeah. We did about 130 shows last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the forecast for this year is somewhere around 200.
All right.
So we'll be gone more days than that, but that's what we're looking at. So exciting.
Any highlights that you can think of in there? Anything?
Highlights. Go ahead.
Or dates coming up, you mean?
Yeah. Any particular shows that are like, oh, can't wait to do that one, or is it just all
fun? A lot of them coming. Yeah. There's so many of them.
We're doing 5 days in Colorado next week. We're pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from now, and then also. Trying to think, Blue Ox Music Festival in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Right, yeah, that just started last year, right?
Yeah, we're pretty excited to be on the lineup this year.
Yeah, so there's a really great lineup.
Exciting.
So
yeah.
All right, well, thanks so much for coming in, guys. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That is The Last Revel. Again, they are playing tonight with Tin Can Gin at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Show starts at 10 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with Jordan Lillibridge running the sound, and also Lauren Flavin on video, also Aaron Welch and Cheyenne Vavrina helping as well. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.